Good morning, church.
Morning, Mark.
Let me start with some housekeeping this morning. Something's going on with my computer. I came in this morning and my slides were not on my computer. But I had printed copies, so I recreated them in about 5 minutes. That's the same computer that I created the slideshow for the songs this morning. One of our songs was not there. Now, that was may have been human error. It may have been Microsoft error. I don't know. But all the fingers point at me on that, so I'll take the credit or the blame where that's concerned. I apologize to Adrian that that song was not on there. Secondly, you have survived to make it to the last lesson on the book of Philippians. Not the last of all time, certainly, but the last in this series, as we have been for a couple of months working our way through the book of Philippians. And there's a whole lot there in those four short chapters. And we've spent the last four Sundays looking at reasons to rejoice, and today we're going to look at one more reason that we have to rejoice. We've talked about how Philippians 4 and verse 4 teaches us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. And sometimes it's hard to rejoice. Like when you're ironing your shirt because you're late on Sunday morning and the starch stains your shirt. October the 16th, 2022. Twice. I normally don't wear my jacket when I teach in the morning. For those who are in my class, that's why I wore a jacket while I taught this morning. Because my pocket's yellow on a white shirt. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice, isn't it? Because circumstances affect us. You know, we've talked about that our names are written in the book of life. There in Philippians 4 and verse 3. That our giving of thanks, being thankful for all things, can serve as a cure to our worrisome nature, our anxiety that we have in our lives. How that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And last week, apparently the lesson I needed for this morning was about knowing true contentment, despite whatever's coming out of that nozzle in that spray can, all over my shirt. In all circumstances, whether I'm abased or abounding, whether I'm hungry or whether I am filled, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content no matter what state I am in. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, I don't think he's talking about enduring a messed up shirt in that verse. But it's an attitude of our minds and an attitude of our hearts that regardless of what's happening around us, we can be contented. We can find true contentment because, as Todd was talking about a few moments ago, everything around us is perishable. The shirt I'm wearing, it's going to eventually go away. My body's eventually going to go away. All of this is perishable. It doesn't matter. What matters is the eternal. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank you for today and for all of our blessings. We pray, Father, that as we conclude this series on not only the book of Philippians, but more specifically on rejoicing always, that we can find the things that we need in this life to be able to truly say, regardless of our circumstances, we can rejoice in you. Bless us, Father, as we share one more reason to rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. As we just read a few moments ago from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Now, the Apostle Paul here in chapter 4 is doing a lot of housekeeping, and he's cleaning up, and he's kind of bringing things together. And here he's kind of drawing things to a close. And as he reaches this crescendo and getting ready to tell them goodbye, he has a few more gold nuggets for them. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, When I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He's talking about how they financially supported him as he continued to share the gospel. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to you. He is writing back to them, having received a gift that they have given him. Epaphroditus brings the gift and probably will be carrying his letter that we now know as the epistle to the Philippian church to carry it back to them. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's one more reason to rejoice. And I want you to join with me this morning in focusing on this great blessing that comes from God. And my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What an amazing summary that is of everything that he has taught to the Philippian church in this letter and by extension taught to us down to this age. I want us to break this verse down for a few minutes and let's see what he's actually telling us here. This one more reason to rejoice begins with, my God. Would you turn over with me to the 23rd Psalm? We're not going to spend a great deal of time there because next Sunday morning, we're going to spend some time in the 23rd Psalm. Most of us probably have this memorized, or the majority of it memorized, from when we were a child. This is a psalm of comfort, a psalm of peace, a psalm that we normally associate with death. And we have drawn it into that environment because it is not written in that environment. When it talks about walking in the shadow of death, we'll talk about this more next week. Every person in here walks in the valley of the shadow of death every day of our lives. Because guess what's going to happen to all of us? Eventually we're going to die. We all walk through that valley every day. And sometimes we find ourselves in that valley with family members and friends. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice how he begins this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Apostle Paul writes, my God shall supply. This is a statement of relationship. This shows an intimacy that the Apostle Paul had, that David many years prior had, and that we can and should have with our Creator. He's not your God. He's not our God. He's my God. Now, he is those other things, but we need to view God as our Lord. Mine. He's mine. My God. See, those needs are not going to be supplied by the government. They're not even going to be supplied by the elders and preachers of your congregation. We can assist in that, but ultimately your supply of needs comes from God. And a recognition of the source of those things is the beginning of us having an understanding that we can rejoice in this life because God has given us what we need. My God shall supply. It's coming from God. It's not coming from anywhere else. Let's turn over to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, while we're in the Psalms this morning. Verses 10 and 11. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand, and the implication is a thousand elsewhere. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This psalm expresses the joy of being in the presence of God. No matter what luxury we enjoy in this life, being in the presence of God far surpasses it. I made a statement that someone got a little bit upset with, and I'm using hyperbole. Hyperbole is used in the Bible many, many times. Jesus talking about a log sticking out of someone's eye. He wasn't talking about a log sticking out of someone's eye. He's using exaggerated language to make a point. And I made the point that, you know, if I'm under a bridge in a cardboard box in heaven, I'm going to be happy. And the person came to me and said, but God says he's prepared a dwelling place for you, a mansion. And I get that. But the point is, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, living under a bridge if necessary, than dwelling in luxurious tents elsewhere. That's what the psalmist is saying to us right here. Why? Because my God will not withhold any good thing from me. He will not withhold any good thing. And if there's something being withheld from you right now, there's a reason. Maybe it's a delay. Maybe you're not ready for it. Maybe that good thing that you think is so good might not end up being that good. There might be a lot of reasons. And if something is being withheld, we've got to trust God that he knows better than we do. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. My God shall supply all your need. All of your need. James chapter 1, verse 17, at the opening of this very important practical letter, the half-brother of Jesus writes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What good gifts? How many? Every. What perfect gifts? Every. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. When you go back to verse 5, and he's talking about wisdom here in particular, but let's broaden it slightly to include chapter 17 in the context. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, he's talking about wisdom there, but also you've got to understand that God gives liberally to our needs. He makes sure that we're not missing anything that we need. And you know, sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God's trying to tell us, all you need is me. Is he enough? He is enough. But we're blinded by the things that are right here in front of us, and we don't peer into eternity to see what we are exposing ourselves to. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking about, don't worry about today, about what you'll wear and the clothing that you have. Birds are taken care of. The flowers of the field are clothed better than Solomon was. When he gets to verse 32, he says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. And there he's talking about unbelievers, those that do not believe in God. They all seek after these things. But your Father knows that you have the need of these things. God already knows what you need. And if every good and every perfect gift comes down from him, and he gives liberally, and he knows that you need something, is he not going to give it to you? Certainly he will. He will see that that need is addressed and met to the fullest. God will not fulfill your every wish, but he will supply your every need. He's not a genie in a bottle. And sometimes he gives us what we want and what we wish for. Sometimes that doesn't turn out real well. And it's a lesson. Sometimes it turns out to be amazing. But he permits things to come into our lives that maybe he would not have given us otherwise, but because we're asking for it, he's allowing us to experience that. My God shall supply all your need in his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The location for the supply of every need is found in Christ. As was read at our opening in our call to worship, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are those spiritual blessings found? They're found in Christ. They're not found anywhere else. They're not found outside of Christ. I had a conversation with a brother many years ago, 20, 25 years ago. And I had prayed for God to bless our material blessings and to bless our spiritual blessings. And he said, you know, material blessings are spiritual blessings too. And I said, maybe and maybe not. Well, what do you mean? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Is rain a blessing? It's not a spiritual blessing. It could be, but it's not necessarily. Housing, clothing, all the material things that the world has are not necessarily spiritual blessings. But when you read Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14, you discover there are specific things that are spiritual blessings that are reserved to those who are in Christ. One of those, in verse 7, is redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's not found outside of Christ. That's only found in Christ. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's writing to Christians. He knows they're in Christ. And he's telling them, you have a special place in the heart of God. God's going to take care of you. Focus on the job that you have before you and allow God to be the supplier of your every need. Throughout this, we have to focus on God We've got to focus on His direction. We've got to focus on His purpose. Because as the Apostle Paul writes to us, we understand that not only can we be content, I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength. We talked about that last week. We can also have confidence that a focus and dedication in His direction and on His purposes will result in our every need being supplied. Focus on God, let God take care of the rest. That's the idea. Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans chapter 8, at the conclusion of one of the most profound theological chapters in all the Bible. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My God shall supply your every need according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. We can rejoice, brothers and sisters, that our names are written in the book of life, that we, through our thanksgiving, can cure the insecurities and worrisome nature that we have, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can rejoice that we can be content regardless of the external circumstances, and we can rejoice that my God shall supply all your need according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God the Father for giving us these beautiful things and giving us a reason to be glad, to be joyful, and to focus on the wonderful benefits and blessings that God has brought our way. Today, maybe you're sitting here and maybe rejoicing isn't necessarily a part of your Christian walk. I ask you why. What is it that's interfering with that joy? Is it because you've separated yourself from God? Is it because you've allowed a circumstance to come between you and God? Maybe you're doubting the goodness of God. Maybe there's many reasons why you don't feel joy in your life. I'm encouraging you today, reflect upon the words of chapter 4 in the book of Philippians. Reflect upon all these amazing things that God gives us to encourage us in our daily walk, to be people who rejoice. Maybe there's a health concern that you have or another physical situation that is pressing upon you that you need our prayers and encouragement for. Or just perhaps you may be here today and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You are not in Christ Jesus. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to Repent of your sins. Turn from those things for which Jesus died. Confess his beautiful name and be immersed in water, buried, baptized for the remission of your sins, raised to walk in a new life, a forgiven life, a life where you're clothed in Christ, added to his church, and you are in Christ Jesus to be able to experience all of those spiritual blessings. Can we help you with any of those things today? Whatever your need is, please make it known as together we stand and sing.
Sin free, 'tis for you.